This edition of Sunday Night's Main Event is dedicated to the memory of Jim Crockett Jr.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Shaq outperforms all expectations. NXT is adopting the more is more philosophy. And we're just hours away from excitement and explosions on AEW Revolution. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event, your weekly look behind the curtain and between the ropes in the world of professional wrestling. My name is Jason Agnew, and this week I'll be joined by Dave Meltzer to chat about the top stories of the week, as well as my longtime co-host, Dan the Mouth Lavransky, to take a look ahead to tonight's AEW Revolution pay-per-view. We'll also have the first in our quarterfinal matchups of the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament. All of that is to come in the next hour, but first, let's dive into the week that was in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Unfortunately, we start the week with some sad news once again. Jim Crockett Jr. passed away this past Wednesday, succumbing to liver and kidney failure brought on by a bout with COVID-19. His father founded Jim Crockett Promotions, with Jr. taking over in 1977, several years after his father's death. He became NWA president in 1980, the first of three terms he served in that position over the subsequent 11 years. During his second term as president, he purchased the famed Saturday night time slot Vince McMahon owned on WTBS, eventually creating the World Championship Wrestling TV show institution. Jim Crockett Promotions would eventually reposition itself as the NWA, as Crockett Jr. owned six territories and was president at the time. During this time, he helped both create and enhance stars like Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Ricky Steamboat, Roddy Piper, The Andersons, Jimmy Snuka, and so many others. He sold the company to Ted Turner in 1988, who renamed the organization World Championship Wrestling after its TV namesake. Jim Crockett Jr. was 76 years old. If you, like me, hated the finish of the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship match this past week, then you're definitely not going to like this either. In the latest edition of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Dave Meltzer reported that as of right now, WWE is planning to introduce NXT Women's Tag Team titles. So, although it's not confirmed, look for that to be Regal's big announcement this upcoming week. Along with that, though, PW Insider is reporting that WWE is mulling over a decision on holding a two-night NXT takeover on the Wednesday and Thursday leading up to this year's WrestleMania. So if that plan comes to be, that would give us WWE seven straight days of programming over WrestleMania. Two nights of NXT starting on the Wednesday, SmackDown, two nights of WrestleMania, the Saturday and the Sunday, Monday is of course Raw, and then NXT again on Tuesday. Yeah, so the boys on the Mat Men podcast were the first to report that NXT will be moving to Tuesday nights. We had discussed this on the show weeks ago when the NHL contract was said to be moving over to USA due to the cancellation of the NBC Sports Network, but the targeted date for this to happen is April 13th. That is the first Tuesday after WrestleMania, so that will cap off, yep, a full 7 days in a row that you can sit around and watch WWE live programming during your evening time. Wow. 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 Hashtag more is more, everyone. Well, I might as well give you the weekly Wednesday night ratings wars news because, let's face it, they're not going to be around for that much longer. But the debut of Shaq was a hit with viewers, of course. What a match. AEW Dynamite averaged 934,000 viewers on TNT. That number is up 12.4% from last week. NXT averaged 692,000 viewers on USA. That's down 5.7 from the previous week. The demographic numbers, though, were kind of interesting. Despite the huge win in overall viewers, Dynamite was actually down 5.7% from last week in the 18 to 49-year-old demo, drawing a 0.33 rating. AEW roster member and current NWA Women's Champion Serena Deeb gave a social media update on a left knee injury she recently suffered. In a tweet, she said she had a scope done and that it went really well and will be back before you know it. Now, someone that is not doing well, though, is Kazuchika Okada. Okada is working through two slipped discs in his lower back. This is one of the reasons he's been at the side of the main event scene for a while. As a follow-up to a story from last week, Marty Scurll will not be featured on any New Japan Strong episodes, nor is he expected to be part of New Japan Pro Wrestling's plans anytime soon. News broke last week that Scurll was part of the January 22nd taping in California and was rumored to be involved in a post-match angle with Rocky Romero. That led to a backlash on social media due to all the details we've already reported about Scurll in a 2016 encounter with a then 16-year-old. That surfaced via the speaking out movement. So don't be predicting Marty Scurll in tonight's ladder match. That is not a thing. Adam Burch, best known as Joey Mercury, has filed a lawsuit against Ring of Honor and the parent company Sinclair Broadcasting. WrestleZone reported that Burch had filed a suit in the state of Maryland against Ring of Honor and Sinclair, claiming that he was misclassified as an independent contractor rather than an employee. Burch was part of Ring of Honor as a producer from May of 2018 through October of 2019. Curious though, wasn't he also a contract worker in WWE? So isn't this the same? I feel like that might be Sinclair's response. And until things change at the top of the mountain, it's going to be very difficult to have them change in any other organization. But I'm not a lawyer, and I wish them all the best. Just want to see these wrestlers be taken care of as they should. A final note here, Ron Reed, better known as Buddy Colt, one of the top heels of the early 70s, passed away this past week. Colt was a big star in the 70s in Georgia and Florida. His career was ended abruptly when he was in a plane crash. Ron Reed was 85 years old. A shorter news pack this week, but when we return on the show, we're going to check in with Dave Meltzer. Everybody's talking about AEW and who the two mystery guests are, the mystery debuts are on tonight's AEW Revolution pay-per-view. We will ask Dave about that and also get into this More is More craziness with the combined NXT and WWE shows around WrestleMania. All of that is to come. And don't forget Dan Lavransky a little bit later as well. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery. Brewed for you, Ontario.
Thanks for listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on the radio. I have been talking wrestling on Sunday nights for about 20 years. And hey, I talk wrestling all through the week. And if you want more of what you're hearing right now, just sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. You get content about pro wrestling each and every day. Only $1 a week, patreon.com/SNMEradio.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider.
Guess who's back? Guess who's back?
With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. Time to take a deeper dive into the news here with the editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Dave Meltzer. And Dave, a real AEW focus for talking about it on our show today. And there's just, I find, a certain energy in the air when you take into consideration the who's it going to be tonight, the Shaq thing from Wednesday, and this barbed wire craziness. AEW, to me, is creating hype. Do you think it's going mainstream, though?
I think it's Shaq thing didn't get as big as I thought it would based on, you know, watching ESPN and things like that. It was there, but and that was the goal for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's why you do things like that is to get, you know, it's not so much for wrestling fans, but to get non-wrestling fans talking, because AEW does really good with its audience, but it needs to expand its audience. That said, it was still the most viewers of any segment that AEW has had in, you know, since the early days of the company. So it did get a lot of men, and especially a lot of older men, watching that normally don't. AEW usually does not do well over 50, and they actually did well over 50. Not Raw level well, but better than they usually do, and better than NXT, which is rare, over 50. So it's not necessarily a great thing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like in 18 to 49, I mean, they actually did less viewers in 18 to 49 this past Wednesday than they did the Wednesday before for Lance Archer and Rey Fénix, which blows my mind, but that's what happened.
Well, I mean, one of the things that any new viewers that did come in to find Shaq is they delivered. Shockingly, Dave. I mean, I can't tell you how I tuned into this, and I tuned in just waiting for the car wreck, and it did not happen. This was so well put together. I mean, all the credit to everyone behind the scenes there and to Shaq.
Absolutely. Absolutely to everyone. I mean, because Jade Cargill was in her first match. Red Velvet hasn't had a lot of matches. Shaq's never had a match. And to put something together that good, that's a real credit to all concerned. QT and all those guys, QT Marshall and those guys that helped put it together. And really, Cody for being the general, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you watch it, Cody, like, was, you know, the one who carried Shaq through. And but the two women, I mean, it wasn't like Cody wrestled for them. And, I mean, I'm sure they practiced and everything, but Jade Cargill's a fantastic athlete. But look, we've seen other fantastic athletes in both men and women go into pro wrestling in their first match and not look nearly as good as that. So you can't just say, well, she's, you know, but that does give her a big leg up for sure.
Whether they lucked out or whether they prepped properly and it all worked out, which is, I guess, what they did. I mean, it looked very good on the company what they did. And I was also surprised that Shaq, a man of that stature, was willing to take a table bump.
Yeah, at his age and everything like that, with his back problems and all that, yeah, and just go for it, and yeah. I still don't know what the idea of that disappearing thing in the ambulance was. Sometimes they do stuff where it's just like, I don't get it, and I didn't, you know, it's like if it played, when they did that, I go, okay, we're doing something that's going to play out, like, later in the show, and then the rest of the show, it was never even addressed, so that to me was weird.
That was
like
a miss.
Yeah, why even do it if it's not going to be addressed? And if you're addressing it next week, unless Shaq's coming back, you know, which if he does, that would be great. But, you know, it doesn't make sense to do that cute thing.
So we have two mystery debuts tonight at AEW Revolution. I just want to get your opinion on the fact that this, we will talk about who the potential debuts are, but this pay-per-view, you know, a lot of the wrestling community is talking about these debuts more so than the rest of the card. I guess talking about it at all is a good thing. Is there any worry to overshadowing the card, though?
I mean, I wouldn't say that. But the one thing is to me, nobody is, I don't say nobody, but a lot of people are not going to spend $50 for a debut because they can get that instantaneously. Whereas to me, the draw or non-draw is going to be, you know, moving to Sunday and how that does, and we'll see. Because you're going against the NBA All-Star Game.
Yeah.
This is not the most opportune day to be doing a big pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But also, you've got the explosive barbed wire, which has never been done on pay-per-view in North America, and if it clicks, then, you know, you can do really, really well. But if people aren't interested, it's a 1990s Japanese concept. It's been done in ECW and CZW, but never on a big stage in the United States. So I don't know. In theory, it's good, but you never know until it plays out.
You know, the funny thing is, though, if you look at the rest of the world of pop culture, and I followed this intensively up here, covering news and pop culture, with the pandemic, a lot of people are looking back to things that they found comfort in many years ago. The nostalgia has really pushed itself forward in the midst of the pandemic, and this is very much nostalgia. I mean, I remember buying the Deathmatch tapes when I was in my teens.
But that's still, like, there's a lot of people like that. And, I mean, I obviously fall into that category because I, you know, Onita and Terry Funk was a monumental thing in pro wrestling when it happened. But that was a real niche of pro wrestling. It wasn't like Bill Goldberg's streak, which was, like, you know, a big, big thing, or you know, Mike Tyson refereeing. You know what I'm saying? Like, things that were real big mainstream. But it's unique, and it's never been done. And so I don't think that the nostalgia of that, other than to, you know, 1990s, you know, Japanese wrestling fans, yes. But that's not a giant number.
Okay, let's talk about these debuts. There's two tonight, one, of course, being in the ladder match and one being coming off the big show announcement. People are blue-skying this thing with names being tossed around like Punk, Lesnar, Rock, Goldberg, Cena.
Yeah.
You know, Angle going out of his way to tease people himself on his Twitter and Instagram. What does your gut tell you about who these people could be and the level of celebrity and star that is actually coming out tonight?
Well, I don't imagine it's going to be, other than Angle, I don't imagine that any of them, you know, there's much of a chance of any of them. For one thing, I think if it was any of them, it would be handled differently and everything like that. I mean, if you're asking me who I expect, you know, my expectations are Kurt Angle and Christian, but I mean, there's, you know, you can throw any name out who's a free agent that's a good wrestler, you know, there's not a lot of them, but as far as in the ladder match, I mean, you can get almost anyone from Mexico. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's and there's lots of talented guys in Mexico. Like, I'd love to see it be Laredo Kid. It wouldn't be like this giant pop, but it would be incredible, and he would be great in the match. You know, Kurt is a name. I mean, he is one of Tony's favorite wrestlers. That's why that fits. He is a free agent. So the thing with Kurt, though, I mean, Kurt will work really hard, and Kurt's, to me, an all-time great. But I don't really want to see Kurt wrestle. The last year of Kurt wrestling was not fun to watch. Christian can wrestle. I don't think Christian's a game changer or anything like that. But I mean, there's value. I mean, in a part of me, you know, I would say there's value in Christian. But another part of me is like, stop with the old WWE guys. Like, Kurt is a big enough name to where it wouldn't bother me. But with the wrestling, I don't know that we need it because he's hurt so bad. You know, I'm not really. I just don't think that they should be overloading with these older ex WWE guys right now when they've got all of these young guys. And you know, yes, if you could get Brock Lesnar, or you could get Batista, or you could get The Rock.
Right.
That would expand your audience. Those guys, you know, I would say, like, obviously you break the rules for them. For others, I don't know that you need it.
With the two names that you're throwing out there, leading contenders of Kurt and Christian, the funny thing about those two, to me, it's a double taint. Not only is it WWE, those two guys were both brought into Impact Wrestling. Now, don't get me wrong, I loved Kurt and Samoa Joe. It's my favorite memory of Impact, but Kurt and Christian were both brought in and sent to the top of Impact. And I think the even worse than more WWE names is AEW redoing Impact storylines.
It's funny because, yeah. But the thing is, there's a big difference. That's 15 years ago that you're talking about.
True.
And Kurt, 15 years ago, even as messed up as he was one of the most talented wrestlers in the business. And Kurt was a huge success for Impact Wrestling, in my mind. They helped him expand. And you know, it wasn't like a turnaround. And he, you know, but I think Kurt was a big success. Christian, I mean, he had good matches. He'll always have good matches. But yeah, that was 15 years ago, and he was not a turnaround guy by any means. You know, I mean, he's a good talker. He's good at everything in wrestling. But he's 47, and again, both of those guys were medically disqualified. Well, Kurt wasn't officially medically disqualified by WWE. They benched him. Christian was medically disqualified. And it's like, they're, you know, even if you say that they jumped the gun and maybe they could come back, it's like you're talking about, like in the case of Christian, a 47-year-old guy who was medically disqualified for years. So you're also talking about a guy with an injury history and a concussion history and things like that. So, you know, you got to take that into account.
It is, regardless, it's very exciting. I'm looking forward to the show tonight. I'm looking forward to this show tonight a lot more than I'm already looking forward to WrestleMania and the week of WrestleMania that WWE is now teasing. Is it for sure that we're getting NXT on Wednesday and Thursday night leading up to WrestleMania with the following NXT moving to Tuesdays, which will line us up with seven straight days of WWE around WrestleMania?
that is the last I heard. You know, until it's announced, you know, things change in WWE
sure.
constantly. But, yeah, that's the plan right now. 7 straight days.
Okay, that's insane. Also, women's tag team titles. I mean, I was very interested and excited this week to watch the women's title match. I really enjoy Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai beside her. I really thought they botched what they did there, and I don't see a need for the women's tag team titles on NXT. On top of that, you just came off an NXT women's tag tournament.
If you were going to do titles, they should have been crowned in the finals at the last takeover in that match. Now to do it, you know, even if you're, but I think that they're just looking for big things to, you know, to get that Tuesday, you know, get excitement into NXT for that Tuesday debut because they're moving nights and you want to get some exciting things. And I'm sure they're going to shoot a lot of angles on that Wednesday, Thursday to build up that Tuesday also.
Yeah, I just don't know how they're going to do a back-to-back. I mean, it's a limited roster, and you're looking at doing 2 nights, 2 hours a night?
They can do that.
Yeah.
They can do 2 hours for 2 nights. Yeah, they have enough talent to pull that off. Because they really do have... When it comes to just, like, the in-ring talent, there really is a lot of that in NXT. So they can do that. Whether, you know, the interest level, you know, that we'll see. But I would think something billed as a takeover on... television, because it's never been done before, will do very, very well. And then the Thursday on the WWE Network will probably do well. You know, there's going to be, and it you know, the interest in WWE will peak that week.
You know,
and so you're doing it at the peak level and everything, and they're really looking for to be able to brag to Peacock of, look at how many eyeballs we got on, you know, straight nights. Because it'll be 4 straight nights, well, 3 straight nights. It'll be the Thursday, Friday, Wait.
It's going to be Wednesday, Thursday.
Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, because Friday's going to be SmackDown.
Right,
On television. So it's Thursday, Saturday, Sunday on Peacock.
Right, and then back on the Tuesday. Yep. All right, Dave, that is awesome for this week. As far as in the Observer this week, Jim Crockett, the Obit, is in there. This is someone who had a huge impact on the wrestling world that we watch now involving WCW.
Yeah, well, before WCW, Jim Crockett Promotions. But yeah, I mean, he was one of the great, you know, as far as presentation of the product and, like, going to the shows and great shows, he was one of the great promoters there was, because those guys, Mid-Atlantic Wrestling and Jim Crockett Promotions in the late 70s and the 80s, they gave you a great live show. I mean, I went to a lot of those shows, and you know, it always helps when you have Ric Flair in the main event.
Yeah.
And, you know, they booked great talent, you know, with the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express and, you know, Magnum T.A. and Tully Blanchard and Dusty Rhodes and Nikita Koloff. I mean, they made stars. They booked great matches. They had a great run. You know, it fell apart the last 2 years. And, you know, I think that's why he's not in the Hall of Fame, is because of the last 2 years. And the last 2 years happened. You can't erase that from his legacy, but you also should not erase that period from like 76 to 86, where, you know, he really, you know, the innovation of Starcade, the expansion on TBS and everything like that. And he was the underdog. You're coming from Charlotte and you're going new into these new markets, and Vince got there first. It was a very tough position. He was in a position he was probably going to lose in, which he did in the end. And you know what? I mean, if things had happened differently and Vince wasn't so good at sabotaging, maybe he would have survived. But, you know, they made a lot of fundamental mistakes in the last 2 years, and that happened. And, you know, but, you know, so he's got both the positive legacy, and he did, you know, the last 2 years weren't good. And you got that, too.
Yep. And that is all in The Observer this week in his Obit, so people should check that out at WrestlingObserver.com. Dave, enjoy tonight's barbed wire death match and the rest of the show, and we will speak with you next week at the same time.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. As I said, Dave Meltzer, check him out at WrestlingObserver.com. It is sad to say the Obits are always such well-written pieces about wrestling history. It's just unfortunate they come with of course, the passing of an individual before you get to the obit. But Jim Crockett Jr. in there this past week. So check that out. All right, going to take a break. When we come back, let's do the first matchup in our quarterfinals of the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament. And then following that, Dan Levransky will show up to round things out with us today and preview AEW Revolution and talk about Shaq on AEW as well. All of that is to come. Stick with us. Sunday night's main event. Find us online at SNME Radio on Twitter, SundayNightsMainEvent.com for all of our weekly podcasts. And we are back with more right after this. Out here in the fields.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday night's main event. And get ready, folks. This is the first of the quarterfinal matchups for our Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament, which means it's not this week in television, so I didn't make these guys watch this week, which is a relief for a lot of people. I'll reveal the topic in just a sec, but first, let's reveal the players. First of all, he played the first game. He also qualified first. Scott is back. Welcome back, Scott.
Hey, happy to be here. I'm excited.
All right, good stuff. Now, Scott, you are taking on someone who's already pulled an upset, and he's walking into this as a bit of a heel because he knocked off Brad the Dad, and that is James. Welcome back, James.
How's it going?
Good, good. All right, Scott and James, here we go. The category for all of the quarterfinal matchups, starting with you guys, is going to be the pop culture of wrestling. So when pop culture invades wrestling and wrestling invades pop culture, vice versa. Here we go. Scott, your player one. James, your player two. Let's get into it. Scott, your first question is, on January 1st, 2007, with a little help from Umaga, what backup dancer pinned John Cena?
Kevin Federline.
Yeah, Kevin Federline. He did one heck of a job, too. I remember him being great on the mic. He really should have done more. All right, over to you now, James. What current WWE talent was in Federline's corner for that match and raised his hand in victory?
Carlito.
It was not Carlito. However, this guy likes to be cool as well. He is John Morrison, at that time known as Johnny Nitro. 1-0 for Scott. Scott, back to you. Who sang a rendition of O Canada at WrestleMania 6? Gotta get it quick.
Willie Nelson, it's not
Willie Nelson. It is Robert Goulet, the correct answer there. All right, I'm gonna take you back in time just to be fair here, James. Who sang America the Beautiful at WrestleMania 8?
Aretha Franklin.
By default, we say Aretha for America the Beautiful. Valid guess there, James. It was actually Reba McEntire. I picked an obscure one for both of you, so no correct answers on that one. Here we go. A little bit more wrestling related here for you, Scott. Stephen Amell is well known to have gotten involved in AEW, but previous to this, he actually had a tag match in WWE in 2015. Stardust, a.k.a. Cody Rhodes, teamed with Bad News Barrett to take on Stephen Amell and whom?
Believe that was Adrian Neville.
Yes, it was Neville of the Adrian variety, now known as Pac. Very good. You got a correct answer there. And to you, James, for this one. On February 15th, 1999, Will Sasso showed up on WCW Nitro and helped cost whom the U.S. title?
Oh, my God. Scott Steiner.
Oh, no. It was Bret Hart, because Bret Hart had put him into a sharpshooter on Mad TV. All right. That means it's 2-0 right now. And, Scott, if you get this, you have the mathematical win. Chris Jericho almost worked a program with Mike Tyson in AEW, which dates back to his personal history with Tyson, punching him out on Raw in 2010. This was after a tag match where Jericho and Tyson competed against whom? What two members of the roster?
Shawn Michaels and Triple H.
And that is a correct answer. They faced off against DX. Very good. Congratulations. It is a 3-0 victory. The number one seed, Scott from Connecticut, rolls on through and defeats James. James, you had one upset, but you couldn't take out the top guy.
Yeah, it's not my day today.
All right. Guys, thank you very much for playing the game. Scott, we'll see you in the next round.
All right. Thanks, guys.
And that'll be the topic for all of this round, pop culture of wrestling. Now, to keep it fair, I've already taped all of the other games in this round, so nobody knew what was coming as far as the topics went. So, I know who's gone on, but you don't as of yet. So, we've got three more of these pop culture of wrestling trivia games over the next 3 weeks. Then we'll get into the semifinals, and the topic will change once again. That's how we roll on through to crown our Turnbuckle Trivia 2021 champion. I can also tell you the schedule has been changed. And I can also tell you the schedule has been changed as the Turnbuckle Trivia Championship for 2021 will take place on the first night of WrestleMania. And then on that Sunday show of the big WrestleMania Night 2, the main event WrestleMania, we will have our 2021 champion take on our 2020 champion, Bob from Scranton. We will do that as we lead up to WrestleMania. But right now, we will lead into a break and we will come back and we will talk AEW. AEW Revolution is on tonight. It's very exciting. Who's going to be there? Who are the special guests? We'll get Dan Lavransky's take on it next when we come back on Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. Tell me who are you on?
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
I'm Dan the Mouth of Ransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty parts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNME Radio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks. Tough guy!
Big swing and a miss, and Cody with the poke of the eyes. Now Cody! Cody on the top! Oh, oh my God! Good God almighty! The tables are everywhere! People are shattered! It's incredible! This crowd's gone wild!
Holy hell!
Cody diving over the top rope, taking out Shaquille O'Neal through two tables!
Yeah, I swear that I'm telling you the facts, cause that's how I beat Shaq!
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event. Okay, so it is an AEW pay-per-view tonight, and we are going to be doing a live show for our patrons after that show. An after-party, shall we say. My partner for that after-party, in which we will be broadcasting live on video as well, is Dan the Mouth Lavransky. So I thought, hey, we've got to get Mouth on to do a preview of this highly anticipated show tonight as well. Dan Lavransky, hello.
Hello, Jay. Yeah, I'm very excited. They've done, I think, a pretty good build for the show, so I'm excited. Although, I don't know if you remember, Jay, when they did one of the Full Gear ones, I think it was last year, and the build-up for the show actually ended up being better than the pay-per-view.
Do you think that'll be the case tonight?
Well, I don't know. It's tough. There's a lot of intangibles in tonight's show. Things like exploding barbed wire deathmatch. Yep. I mean, even back in the day when they would do them in Japan with Funk and Foley and all that kind of stuff, they often came off as almost a joke when the explosions wouldn't work or something wouldn't happen. Like, it's throwing a lot of intangibles into the mix in that main event, so we'll see.
But Mouth, I was trying to wrap my head around why they're doing this. And I think a lot of it, it's been said that Omega wants to prove that he's the best at any match. And he's a bit of a kindred spirit with Moxley wanting to prove that same thing. And Moxley's more on the extreme side than Kenny Omega is. But I tried to think back to myself 20 years ago, maybe more at this point, 25 years ago, when I was buying VHS tapes. And the first VHS wrestling tape that I went out and found was Mick Foley, Terry Funk, Onita, and that barbed wire death match because we couldn't get it here, broadcast right. anywhere. Right. So what I'm thinking that they're trying to do with this is appeal to a variety of demographics. And I think even though you might not be into it and I might not be into it, I think this might be an aim at a more brutal, spectacular match that aims at perhaps a younger demographic.
I think, obviously, you've been listening to the amazing All Elite Wrestling podcast with myself and Joe Aguinaldo, because that is the exact theory that I put across on the podcast, is that AEW from day one, if you remember the early pay-per-views, this was really a strong trait, was that they want to have something for everybody.
Right.
They want to have a well-fought, stiff match in the ring with just two guys pounding the crap out of each other. They want to have high-flying tag team matches. And this is one of the things they want to have, is they want to have that extreme, because they probably realize that in this day and age, on a national stage, no one's really providing an ECW-style thing. And I think that's what this is. I think this is them appealing to that, because there always has been, Jay, like you said, even though you and I might not like it, there's always been that core of the wrestling audience that really digs those kind of crazy over-the-top matches, right? You know, fluorescent light tubes and barbed wire and explosions and lots of blood and fire and stuff. So I really just think this is part of the AEW mandate to, I mean, look, we've got Japanese women wrestling on the match. Like, I mean, we've got a ladder match. I just really think they want to touch on everything. We've got a battle royal. I think they really just want to kind of touch on as many different things as possible and not just kind of present the same match up and down the card.
Now, AEW is, of course, also trying to gain recognition beyond the hardcore fans like you and I and the people that love hardcore, like we were just talking about, and they took steps towards that on Wednesday night. So before we get into talking more about tonight, I want to look back at Wednesday night, because Shaq appeared. This is something that you and I have talked about for months now, since it was announced, since before it was announced, talking about Shaq, looking at this match. You had said they need to go cinematic with this just to protect Shaq. I 100% agreed with you, and we can say it. We were both wrong.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I said on the podcast, I have to eat some crow here.
Yep.
Because this was a gazillion times better than it had any right to be. Shaq totally surprised me. He sold it like it was real.
Yep.
He came out looking like he was pissed and ready for a fight. They booked him very simply. They booked to his size, you know, let him do big chops and power bombs and stuff like that. And and he took a freaking huge bump through a table, and he sold it like $1 million. Now, I honestly thought the whole thing worked out really good, except for that afterthought in the ambulance and Shaq is gone.
What was that?
I was like, okay, you guys just wrecked something really huge. You just put this in stupid Randy Orton Fiend territory here. And I'm like, why are you doing that? It's so stupid. It had been done. In fact, Jay, I thought it was done so well that I think that should have been on the pay-per-view this tonight.
Well, it couldn't, no, Mouth. It couldn't, because tonight is the NBA All-Star game as well.
Oh, okay. So we have that hang up. Well, just the way that it was, like, I don't know if they knew it would work out that well or if they fluked into it or what happened, but it was a million times better than it had any right to be. And Shaq came off fantastic.
Yeah, it was really, really great. I was also, you know, you mentioned the sell job there. Number one, the willingness to take that bump of a man that is very large, past his prime, and would just not want to walk around feeling hurt. And his sell on it as well, where he kept his eyes closed. He wasn't like, you know, Shawn Michaels after the punch from Tyson chewing bubble gum in the ring. You know, like he was all about making it look like he had actually been knocked out. And by removing him from that, it also, I mean, kudos to Red Velvet and kudos to Jade as well for being huge parts and just, you know, taking everyone took it to a new level in that match and did exactly what they had to do to make it incredibly entertaining. It was perfect.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, the only thing I felt for poor Red Velvet, though, when she was trying to set up that second table.
Yeah.
Because she was having trouble with it. And I always find it weird when two people are setting up tables for another person's spot. But that's what they did. I mean, she just had trouble getting the table set up. And that was just a problem there. But other than that, I thought it was great. And yeah, with Jade and Red Velvet getting to take the rest of the match after those two were out of it, I thought it was spectacular. It was one of the times when a celebrity involvement was really, really good.
Dan the Mouth Ransky joins me right now on Sunday night's main event, looking back at what happened AEW on Wednesday night. But tonight, Mouth, you and I are going to be live, as mentioned, doing our after party for AEW Revolution. And the funny thing about the hype for this show is the big talk about it is, we chatted briefly about the exploding barbed wire match, but that is very much secondary now to the guessing game that everyone is playing with the two different performers. I feel like this is the Masked Singer, which is back this week. Like, I'm sitting here, and don't get me wrong, Mouth, I'm having a blast. I've said this so many times about AEW, is by this promotion coming into being and by it giving performers another place to go, a lot of the fun of WCW and WWE back in the day was watching performers move from brand to brand.
Right.
That Jericho debut, I don't know if can ever be equaled. Well, maybe it can tonight. So you've got the Big Show announcement. Oh, I mean, we can talk about that as well. Big Show debuting on Wednesday night, not doing the face-to-face with Shaq. But what did you think of Big Show's first presence on AEW television?
I mean, I didn't have any problem with it. It's kind of basically what you would expect. I loved the T-shirt. I mean,
I did too. Yeah.
I mean, I find it funny that certain people had trouble figuring it out. I'm like, it's pretty obvious what it means.
No BS. It was great. No more BS. Yeah, very funny.
I thought it was great. I thought it was the perfect kind of simple little thing to just bring him out there and introduce him. But at the same time, he got to start something rolling where he went to go, hey, you're not the only one with the scoops, Tony. I know somebody that's coming in and we're going to find out at the pay-per-view. So it was good in that it wasn't just an intro of him, but it actually moved something along as well. And like you said, now everybody's trying to put that puzzle piece in there. Who's going to be the big prediction? Because I don't think the one in the ladder match is going to be as over the top, blow your mind as this one.
Okay, well, but let's start with the one in the ladder match. Let's do this twofold here, and I didn't prep you for this, so I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. Talk about two choices, right? Who you think it's going to be and who you want it to be. We'll start with the ladder match. So the ladder match, we can run it on down tonight. Here is what is happening. It's the face of the Revolution. I'm giving you time to think about this. The face of the Revolution ladder match for a future AEW TNT Championship match. It's Cody Rhodes versus Scorpio Sky versus Penta El Zero versus Lance Archer versus Max Caster. And then you have your mystery person here. Who would you like that to be in this ladder match?
There's a couple. I mean, unfortunately, he's tainted now, but I would love to see Marty Scurll in here.
Yeah, right. We're very tainted. That ain't happening. New Japan pulled him.
That's right. Exactly. Even they've pulled him, right? So he's off the map pretty well completely. It's very hard to make a pick. And I would like to see maybe Ethan Page. From that just left Impact.
That's my choice of who I think it is going to be.
Oh, really?
Yes,
that would,
I do.
That would be, actually, I think that's a great choice. He's a great talent, and he really got wasted in Impact. And
you
plus,
mean
local.
You don't like Karate Man and him fighting himself? That's not for you.
When the performer himself puts out a tweet the next day, tearing it to shit. No, I was not a big. I didn't think it was very good. So I would love to see him in there because he's a talented guy. I've seen him wrestle tons of times. I mean, he ran his own promotion in Hamilton and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would like to see him in there.
Is there anyone mouth? I mean, you cover more of the international stuff than I do. Do you think that this is perhaps someone from Japan or
Japan?
Mexico?
Oh, geez. Oh, wow. I don't know, Jay. I don't think they would put someone from New Japan in that spot. I don't know. I don't see it. I mean, no, I don't see that really happening there in that.
Okay.
One. I mean, maybe the bigger announcement could be
you
someone
think the
from
bigger?
New Japan.
Okay. Well, let's move along to that. We're both kind of thinking and hoping for Ethan Page here. There's rumors around both of these spots potentially being Christian as well. We should probably talk about that. To me, I've said this, I think I said it last week on this show, I think I said it on the Midweek Markout, I think Christian right now is better suited to be in WWE because I want to see Edge and Christian versus the Usos.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree with you. With the current storyline with Edge and that, I don't think Christian is going to pop up here. It doesn't really make sense. I'm sure he's going to be involved in the build towards Mania in some way, so... Yeah, I don't see Christian happening there. But, I mean, I've seen people picking like the big pick seems to be for the Paul White announcement. One seems to be Kurt Angle. A lot of people seem to think Angle is going
to
show up.
That to me is a mistake.
Me too.
And for I have a number of reasons with that. Number one, it's
his health. That's my reason. Well, I don't think he should be in the ring anymore, really.
Yeah,
honestly.
Me neither. I also, if you think back to the best angle ever for Impact Wrestling, it's Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm.
It's Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe.
Right.
So you've already seen Kurt Angle play that part, and I don't think AEW should go anywhere near having people bring back memories of Impact Wrestling, good or bad.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, I know we had this the tweet from Angle where it was kind of teasing him lacing up his boots and stuff, but I hope it's just him being a bit of a smart aleck because I do not want to see that happen. Hey, what if I tossed out Brock Lesnar?
Listen, that is someone that you imagine?
Yes. Oh, good. Exactly.
There are
That's
certain
why I
ones
think so.
There are certain ones Mount, that are absolute pure insanity if it happens. I put Brock in that category. I put John Cena in that category. The Rock and a little bit lesser CM Punk. Those are all giant. But if it is one of those, is it a waste to only tease it and not announce that they will be there?
Yeah, well, certainly if it was someone of Punk's caliber to this crowd, to the AEW crowd, I think you would be foolish not to introduce it in ahead of time because people would buy that pay-per-view in droves just to know if Punk was on it. Because how long have we been listening to, especially since the UFC thing kind of fizzled, how long have we been listening to Punk, we want Punk back, we want Punk back. That would be huge, and that would really put them on the map, I think, with their audience. But it's all up to Punk, right? And I'm still not convinced he really wants to come back to wrestling.
Listen, if it's CM Punk, then put him in the ladder match and have him win.
Yeah, you could do that. But again, that seems like I don't know if that's the right place to introduce someone of his caliber.
I guess you're right, because it's the TNT championship that's getting a shot, not the world championship. Punk should be in the world championship spot right away.
Yeah,
okay, you're right there. But there's so many names, and again, this is really part of the fun of what's happening here. And hopefully...
Yeah, and actually, if you think about it, Jay, because of, again, their audience, a lot of them very wrestling savvy, they're probably going, you know what? More of our audience would probably be even intrigued if we just tease something major, let them all kind of speculate on what it would be, yet they'll all tune in to see what it is.
Well,
you know, I think it's going to work to their advantage, not actually announcing who it is.
It is very exciting. Now, we're going to be doing our review show of what we have just talked about, AEW Revolution. It'll be myself and Dan Lavransky. We'll both be on video broadcasting, and you can check that out. All you got to do is sign up to patreon.com/SNMEradio. So do that and join us later tonight. So here's the deal. If you're listening on the radio right now, we have got to say goodbye for this week, because our time is up. However, if you're listening to the podcast version, then you get a whole nother block of Lavransky and I chatting about WWE. So that is to come. And if you want that, by all means, go download the podcast, SundayNightsMainEvent.com, and you can also get all of our podcasts sent to your inbox if you sign up as a Patreon. Patreon has its privileges. Till next week, though, we'll be back here on all of our affiliates, including TSN Radio. We'll talk at you then. Don't you dare miss it. Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event, and we're going to take a look at the WWE now, Mal. This is the part of our work and our job that feels like work.
Yeah, exactly. The AEW part is fun, and this is work.
The AEW part is just so exciting, and there's really not much in Well, actually, I will tell you, the one thing I was excited about this week in WWE, they ruined it. But we'll get there. We'll start with something positive, Mouth, because the first hour of Raw, despite the fascination with countdown clocks that WWE is now exhibiting, the first hour of Sheamus versus Drew, I have just labeled this match too good for Raw.
It was. Jay, that was an excellent, hard-hitting, high-caliber match. It's a shame that the feud between the two of them has really not been that great. And if it had had some time to build and they had properly kind of worked at it and convinced us that a friendship actually was there, this would have been fantastic. I thought that's one of the best matches I've seen on Raw in a long time.
You don't think that they convinced us a friendship was there? I definitely think that they did a great job of that. And
I don't know. It seemed awfully rushed to me, Jay. I had trouble buying into it because it just didn't. It happened too quickly. The best angles, as shown in AEW a lot of the time, are the ones that are allowed to have time to build.
Right.
And you think about it. Like, look at what they're doing with the Inner Circle and stuff and the way that's had time to build. This, to me, did not have enough time to build to be convincing.
I've always liked, ever since they first started doing those vignettes backstage where Drew and Sheamus were friends when they were backstage, but in the ring they were a heel and a babyface. It was a very interesting thing that I hadn't seen before. And
yes,
listen, if it's fresh, I'll be honest, I'm probably going to like it because WWE feels so stagnant. But congrats. I mean, Sheamus and Drew were tremendous. The match was great. The ultimate thing that happened on Raw, though, was Lashley finally taking the title from Miz after Miz ran away a whole bunch of different times. Do you think it was the right decision to have him win it on this show, or should they have waited to have him take it away at Fastlane?
Nope, this was fine. Okay. I have no problem with it happening on the TV. Miz, come on. He's mid-level comedy. This totally makes sense for a character like Miz. I don't think it hurts him in the slightest. He's portrayed as basically an idiot, an opportunist. He gets his comeuppance. He has the title for a week. I thought it was fine. Hey, remember, Jay, Sheiky only had the belt for 23 days.
And if you don't remember, he'll tell you.
That's right, exactly.
So you have Miz. Obviously, this now, it's very easy on Monday. You just have Bad Bunny come out with Damian Priest or have them bump into each other backstage, and this rolls into where Miz should be with Morrison. Listen, I have no problem with what they're doing with Bad Bunny, and it's actually been very beneficial for Damian Priest.
Yeah, I have no problem. That's totally a WrestleMania match that I could see with a little, you got some celebrity involvement, but it's not at the top of the card. And, you know, exactly, that's where Miz should be. He's in the middle. He's not a main event guy by any, you know, stretch of the imagination. So back there, that's perfect. Put him in there. Let them have their fun. Mid-card fun at Mania.
We're really looking down the line and mentioned Mania a whole bunch here, of course, because we're in Mania season. And I really saw us moving towards your all-time favorite, Shane McMahon, taking on Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman, by the way, now playing the character of a 10-year-old child who just says, this sucks.
He is so annoying when he comes out, Jay. He says, hey, how come I'm not in the title picture? Hey, this sucks. And he goes, well, you know what? That sucks. I'm like, dude, you sound like a little bratty kid. And yeah, of course, you know how I feel. Anything that brings Shane back, when he showed up there, whatever, 2 or 3 weeks ago, that's kind of what went through my mind. I went, oh, yeah, it's Mania season. Shane needs to get on the card and do his big bump off a cage or whatever. You know, I hate it. Vanity, thy name is Shane. That's the way I see it. I think Braun Strowman, honestly, when his contract is up, get the hell out of there.
What do you do though? Where do you go with Braun Strowman? Like where?
In the WWE, that's it. That's it exactly. Jay, they've killed it. He could have been one of those great big man monster guys. They ruined it a long time ago. I honestly don't know where you go with this guy. I mean, maybe he ends up challenging Lashley at some time, but he's certainly not going to win the title, I don't think.
Braun Strowman is the Big Show now because the Big Show is gone. So he can go in there as the kind of monster that ultimately the babyface is going to defeat.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what is going to be his role, I think. He's going to be a challenger for guys, and but he's not going to really get anywhere. He's just going to kind of float right where he is, and they'll just, like, look at even this thing now. They've just kind of brought him in because, well, we need somebody for this. So, you know, it's the way they handled him is terrible.
I will say, though, Mouth, the T-shirt, this sucks, that sucks, Mark Andrade brought up, that sells.
Okay.
As sad as it is, that sells. When they put that out, for sure, your average common wrestling fan will think that's cool.
Awesome.
Yep. Hey,
don't save me one.
About as good as the That Sucks T-shirt is the fact that we now have two Randy Ortons. Do we see, we mentioned Karate Man, do we see Randy Orton versus Randy Orton somehow in a cinematic match where he wrestles himself and struggles with his inner self?
Oh, my God. God, I didn't even take it that far. That is friggin' horrible. They better not do something like that. You know, this, I know you were, when you saw this, it reminded you of the Hogan Warrior
yes,
stuff.
Yes, yes, in WCW.
But no, you know what, though, Jay? You forgot probably the one with Orton before. They have done this with Orton before. When he was feuding with Taker back in the mid-2000s, they did a vignette where he was backstage and he looked in a mirror and he saw Taker, and we all saw Taker, but Taker wasn't in the room. They've already done this kind of goof.
No, but now he's seeing himself. He's seeing himself, Mouth.
I don't care. It's not captivating in the slightest. Again, it's not the type of angles I want in professional wrestling. If you're going to do a horror movie, do a horror movie. Like this, I don't see. I guess you could do a cinematic match. It's just going to come off as incredibly stupid. Isn't this supposed to lead to some reborn? Is this Bray reborn now?
Okay.
He looks
okay.
Like Randy Orton. Like, what's going on?
Let the Bray reborn thing. Now, I've said this on our family of podcasts, but I want to put this out in the public feed so the most ears hear it possible. Bray Wyatt being reborn, and you will love this. I will guarantee you will love what I'm about to say. Have you seen the Righteous Gemstones yet?
I have not.
Okay.
Sorry.
Righteous Gemstones, it is about an evangelical family that lives in the South. For Bray Wyatt to be reborn, he should be reborn into religion. He comes back as your preacher. Along with that, Alexa is at his side. We're talking Jim and Tammy Faye Baker.
Oh.
Then, Mouth, you add in someone that people can believe in. His actual brother, Bo Dallas, and if you want, make the treasurer of his congregation, little Bruce Pritchard with his face painted red.
It's way too good, Jay. There's no way. There is no freaking way. I never thought of that, but you're right. As Southern preacher, I mean, we are kind of, you got to admit, we are like about 30 years removed from Jim and Tammy Faye, though. Like,
true.
I mean, that's not exactly current.
No, but the Righteous Gemstones just came out last year. Now,
then,
I know
okay.
It's not a huge series, but it's something that was interrupted due to COVID. But it's a Danny McBride series that also features Adam Devine and John Goodman. Goodman plays the head of the family. You know, borrowing from pop culture is something wrestling has done over again in very successful ways. To me, I'm also like, the one thing that I will give Bray Wyatt full credit in is he leans into his characters and they are very good. He has just had a problem with being in the ring, and everyone gets what they want out of him before he gets in the ring, and then people detach from him. I do think that this is less supernatural and instead more reborn religious, I don't know, have them steal money and, you know, all of that that kind of goes on with the typical evangelical type deal.
I mean, it's a good idea. I mean, but they've got to make it unique, though. They can't, it can't look like a Brother Love retread. I mean, and again, I know Brother Love, that's, you know, what, 30 years removed,
long time,
probably too. But for old school fans, certainly myself, if they come out and they do it too, I don't actually think Pritchard should be associated, because I think a Brother Love connection taints it.
Right.
I think it has to be something new, fresh that they come up, so people aren't going, oh God, they're just rehashing Brother Love.
How about this? Let me throw at you a little bit of old and a little bit of new for the title of it. The First Family of the Fiend.
Oh, wow.
Remember the First Family?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yep.
All right.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Yep.
All right. We're taking booking suggestions here on the show.
that's not a bad one at all, Jay. You're right. I do like it, but I think they're too smart. And I don't know, how would the Southern audience react?
Oh, I don't know. Mouth, I live in the North. I live in Canada. I mean, listen, if you want to talk about reactions to people, the fact that we saw Apollo Crews on SmackDown this wielding a spear complimented by the militia, what is happening?
Okay, those are all my questions for you, but when you sent me the notes, I'm like, okay, he's asking, because I missed SmackDown last week, and I'm like, okay, did I miss something? Did they do a vignette where he went to Nigeria and we saw his family or something? Because I was just completely dumbfounded when he came out like that with the, he's a descendant of Nigerian royalty.
Last week,
you know,
he came out.
It was weird. This is classic example. You can't just throw something like that after last week he was goofy fun Apollo Crews. Now he's what, Nigerian prince with militia and spears and army gear on? Like, you can't, you got to build these. If you wanted to do this and make it successful, take him off TV for a while. Just let him disappear. No one's really paying attention to what he's doing anyways. Take him off TV for a while. Let him disappear. And then, I don't know, in 2 months, start showing some vignettes or something that shows. And he can just cut a promo saying he took some time off and did this and found this about his history. And now I've got a different way of thinking. Like, it could have been done. I just thought this was, like you said, you just sat there and scratched your head.
Yeah, I mean, it was very jarring. Last week, he did cut a promo alluding to the fact that his grandfather had 5 wives. He's from Nigerian royalty, blah, 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 blah. It just seemed also very strange that all of this happened with the release of Coming to America 2 on Amazon Prime. It's like, did someone watch? Do you know, in the first Coming to America, like, there was his name is Akeem. And along with that, the band that Eddie Murphy is in is actually called Sexual Chocolate.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many...
Yeah.
References for old school WWE and Coming to America, and I feel like they might have done it again.
Well, you know, I believe it was you that just said on the last thing about how they deal from popular culture. Obviously, Coming to America has been a huge influence for these guys. I think that's probably exactly what they're playing on. The film's getting a lot of attention, you know, because it is the reunion with Murphy and Arsenio Hall there after 30 years or whatever. So it is getting a lot of attention. I could see them picking on this, but these type of angles, man, they have to be done properly or it's just going to look like a joke. So they've got their work cut out for them. And so far, I'm not holding a lot of high hopes for this.
Hey, you want to talk jokes on SmackDown? What about Buddy Murphy all of a sudden going and begging Seth Rollins to hang out with him again? And no mention of Aaliyah Mysterio at all.
Well, yeah, but you know what, though? That was dropped already. Like, it's been, what, more than a month or more since we've even seen Aaliyah.
Well, it's been a month since we've seen Buddy Murphy, for that matter.
So, I don't know. To me, it was obvious it was already dropped. I wasn't surprised that they dropped it, but I was surprised that they went to Murphy back with Rollins. I'm like, why would you do that? I liked that they had dropped it, and then I thought, okay, let's bring Murphy back in something completely not attached to any of this, and let's try to maybe rebuild him or whatever, because that's what was needed. To have him go right back to Rollins takes him nowhere. He's stagnating there.
Let's, so continue on with the nonsensical nature of things. We've done a bit on Raw. We've done a bit on SmackDown. Let's talk NXT. This was my one highlight this is what I was most looking forward to this week, Mouth, was the
women's tag match.
You bet.
I know, because I was too.
Yeah.
It was the thing I was looking forward to.
Nia and Shayna versus Raquel and Dakota. Number one, I think this should have main evented the show. I think
absolutely. Absolutely.
It was hyped. It drew. You had still the perception of WWE stars going down to NXT, which is not. It's across. And it seemed like the whole thing played up to the eventual collision of Nia and Raquel. And then it happened, and it was done so passively and was so short.
This whole thing was, well, you know what I wanted, Jay. I wanted a straight out win by Dakota and Raquel to win the belts and move up to the main roster. I thought this was the perfect chance to do that, to get two girls up there that are ready for it. And so this whole convoluted ending with Adam Pearce and what now it's raw talent. So I can't even figure it out. It made no sense. We saw Regal and Adam Pearce arguing backstage. Does that mean it's going to be an NXT versus Raw thing? Like it was again, handled horribly, totally confusing. And who did it help? Did it help anybody?
Well, I agree. It really doesn't help anyone. And now, so what is supposedly happening on Wednesday, it's not Tuesday yet, Wednesday this week in NXT, that announcement from William Regal is twofold. One will be the announcement of new NXT Women's Tag Team title belts.
Oh, you think that's what he's going to do? So NXT will have their own women's tag division.
Which, if you were doing that, why wouldn't you have awarded that to the winners of
in the
tournament.
Dusty
Cup?
It's almost stupid to think, eh? Really, like, come on. This stuff is right here in front of you. If that is the plan and if that is his announcement, yeah, then they messed up huge. Because you're right. Why wouldn't you give it to the winners of the tournament?
Along with that, it looks like Regal's going to be announcing two NXT specials leading into WrestleMania. So I ran through this in the news. So that means leading into WrestleMania, that week around April 10th, Wednesday, NXT. Thursday, bonus NXT. Friday, SmackDown. Saturday, WrestleMania Night 1. Sunday, WrestleMania Night 2. Monday, Monday Night Raw. Tuesday, NXT moves over, and you get NXT. A full week every night, minimum 2 hours of WWE programming.
Wow. Yeah, that's insane. I don't understand the motivation for the two-night NXT. Understand why they feel they need to do that. I mean, a lot of times the NXT show it almost overshadows Mania sometimes because it's so good, but I don't feel it needs, like, I don't feel there's enough there to stretch it out over two nights. I feel we're going to get a lot of filler in there that won't be worth much. So I'm not sure why they felt they needed to do that, unless it's just the competition with AEW thing again.
Well, but that won't factor in. I mean, that would be on the Wednesday. It's not like they're competing with them on Thursday. They're just adding that in to link it up. So you just can't, you gotta go home every night, or you're staying home anyway, because you're not leaving your home in a lot of places, do a lockdown, and then just watch wrestling. That's all they want you to do is watch wrestling. It's too much.
Oh yeah. It's way too much, but that's their thing, right? They're the masters of the overkill nowadays. So got to get those TV rights. Got to keep those TV fees going.
Did you not care for the Johnny Gargano therapy session? You had mentioned to me that you really didn't like it.
I didn't.
Really?
You know what?
Why?
I liked the idea that it was him paying the psychiatrist to tell the things to Austin that he wants him to hear.
Yeah.
I liked that part of it, but I just thought the whole vignette was, I mean, look, I'm not a fan. I don't like the Austin Theory character. I don't like Indy Hartwell's character. I don't like the fact that it's tied up with Dexter Lumis. I didn't really find this segment funny. To me, it was forced comedy. A lot of it, to me, I'll put it in terms you can understand. It was a bad SNL skit, like the skit they put right at the end of the show because there's no other better place for it than the end of the show, and everyone's half asleep. It didn't jive with me, Jay. It wasn't the right kind of humor. I just thought it was too contrived. I thought a lot of it was stupid, and I'm just not a fan of Theories and Hartwell's characters. I'm not really liking it, you know. And I don't know. It just didn't work with me.
I thought the woman who played the therapist was quite good. Way better of an actress than they normally get for roles like that in wrestling. And Johnny Gargano he has a certain charm and a very strong comedic timing for me. I mean, even something as I felt bad about myself. I felt less about myself when I laughed at "I will not be therapied on." Good, you laugh too. Good.
I just find I don't know. There's something about the character to me with Johnny that it doesn't resonate that way.
Really?
He just comes across as annoying a lot. I found in this vignette he was more annoying than funny to me.
Well, we
so it just didn't work for me.
We disagree on that one because I do like what Johnny's doing. L.A. Knight, I can't handle the name, and I really don't.
Oh. Again, you're being way too nice. You said for the name that it reminded you of running shoes,
yes,
or a minor league sports,
sure,
team. No. You know what I see?
Nope.
Bad porno star name or a really low-end rapper. That's what I see when I see L.A. Okay. Knight. And I'm just like, you know, the guy's a great talker. What was wrong with Eli Drake? Does Impact own that?
Well,
or?
No, but there is another. There is a James Drake in NXT.
Oh, okay.
So maybe they didn't want to have two Drakes, even though they had no problem with Darren Young, Renee Young, and Mae Young.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. That name to me really hinders him. He's a great talker and everything,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm glad to see him. But man, who thought of that name? It's a horrible name.
I feel like he is just falling into be the Miz of NXT.
I think that's a very apt comparison, which is unfortunate because again, he's a talented guy. You know, he's a great talker.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. He's there. He's there.
Yeah. That's it. And I think this name is just, it's going to continue to be that. He's there.
And finally, Santos Escobar. I mean, they have him come out with El Legado del Fantasma. They take out Breezango and they tell us all to forget about last week. He actually said, forget about last week. And I say, why did we do last week? Like, is this Men in Black where he's going to pull out, you know, the little,
yeah, that's right,
the little thing,
little
the green
zapper
thing, zap,
yep,
us to forget,
yep,
about last week? Because there was just no reason to do the thing with Karrion Kross.
The thing for me in this, Breezango, were they, the announcers kept saying they were wearing space outfits. Was that not some sort of Daft Punk tribute? That's what I thought they were going for.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been.
That's
but also,
I
got no time for Breezango.
Oh yeah, it's a joke. I mean, it's a feud. Who cares about this? No one wants to see these guys feud. That tells you how much I care. That's all I took out of it was, oh, I think they're doing a Daft Punk tribute. That's it. That's all I remember from the match, the segment. That's it.
Well, that's it. That's all is what we can say about this show as well. But Mouth, we're not done today because we are going to be coming back tonight immediately following the AEW Revolution pay-per-view, their debut on Sunday nights. We make our debut on video. We will be broadcasting via a Zoom gallery. Mark Andrade is setting us up. He's producing the whole thing. You'll be broadcasting. I'll be broadcasting. We'll be reviewing AEW Revolution. So join us for that. If you want the link, you got to sign up at patreon.com/SNME Radio. For all of you radio listeners, we'll be back here. Same time, same place, TSN Radio next week. Mouth, I'll speak and see you tonight.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be fun, and I'm actually looking forward to the Zoom thing too. Because if it's a great show and everybody's excited and pumped, then we'll have a lot of fun talking about it afterwards.
Yep, and that's how we'll be doing the phone calls as well. It'll all be Zoom calls. We'll be doing that tonight, and we'll talk to you next week right here on TSN Radio for Sunday night's main event. Don't you dare miss it,
brother.